Well, Merry Christmas to each of you as we gather together this night. I just love the Christmas season. It's one of my favorite seasons of all time. And what I really, really like about Christmas is going to see all the Christmas lights. Various times over the years, the family has gotten together and done Christmas lights. This year, Jennifer and I, because all of our kids are gone, we decided to go to Winter Haven and see all the Christmas lights at Winter Haven. How many of you have seen the Christmas lights at Winter Haven? It's a great thing, but I'm telling you, it's out of control. We saw light displays like we have never seen light displays before. There was like four houses doing this Polar Express thing, and then this guy actually had built a fountain in front of his house, and the lights were synchronized to the fountain that was going, this music. It was the most incredible thing, and you know, it's a lot different than when I was a kid. I mean, here's some examples of some Christmas lights. This is a beautiful one with Christmas trees, and the next one kind of shows, here's some little nutcrackers in front of a house. That's kind of beautiful. And then the next one is, I mean, look at this. Can you imagine living next door to this? It's incredible. But, you know, it's still even more out of control. It's, look at this, just absolutely beautiful. Of course, now they're, now static displays aren't enough, just so you know. Now you've got to have music and light synchronized. Well, let's take a look. I think we got one here. This is a drone taking pictures. Maybe you live next door to this? Out of my block. Look at that. Merry Christmas. All right, so we don't have that in my neighborhood. Actually, this next story is probably more appropriate for our neighborhood.
Well, the Michigan family realizes that they can't compete with the neighbor's Christmas display, so they decide to have a little bit of fun. Take a look at the display, pretty elaborate, with an inflatable bear on the roof, Santa there in the sleigh, and hundreds of lights. Says rather than wasting her time with a mediocre light setup, she and her family decided to put up a ditto sign instead.
That's more my speed, absolutely. I tell you, I don't know if I really don't know. You know, the one thing that we like about Vail out here is our dark skies. We like Christmas lights, but we like them sparkling in the sky. And I think if I were to do a display like that with all the lights, I think I might have neighbors coming out unglued. So that's why I don't do it. It's not because I'm lazy or anything like that. I just really want to, you know, respect my neighborhood and not put up any Christmas lights. Because don't you wonder if they have to like shut down the telescopes on top of all these mountains to get all these, you know, when the Christmas displays are going? Well, tonight we're going to look at Christmas lights, because there's nothing like Christmas lights at Christmas time. And there's a couple things I want to talk to. One is, what did the Christmas lights look like? And then the second question we'll answer tonight is, what do the Christmas lights do? And so we'll just go right into it. What did they look like? Well, first of all, the lights that came in Christmas time were like the angel of the Lord. Imagine that you are out in the field with your flocks at night. In Luke 2, verse 9, where it says, "And an angel of the Lord appeared to the shepherds, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear." Can you imagine what it would have been like to be a shepherd just sitting there in the evening, just enjoying whatever it is shepherds do in the evening with their sheep grazing and all that sort of thing? And all of a sudden, the whole heavens fill, and the angels are there, and they're singing, and there's lights, and it must have been an incredible sight. I can't even imagine. But I'm sure it was rather frightening for him too, because I can't even imagine what it would have like sitting there and all of a sudden these lights and the angels come. It reminds me a bit of the story of Moses and the burning bush in Exodus. He's walking along and all of a sudden this burning bush comes up and he goes over to investigate, and the angel in the burning bush said, "Do not come near. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place which you are standing is holy ground." So the light that shone through that night was a holy light. It was a bright light. It was a light that filled the glory of God. Have you ever had the glory of God just fill you in your life? There have been times in my life when I've had the glory of God, or I've felt that special connection, or I've felt the wonder of life. You know, of course, the birth of all my children was one of those times where you just feel the glory of God. What is it in your life where you feel the glory of God? Imagine that sensation. A couple years ago, I went to visit my daughter who was studying in England, and we went to Ely Cathedral. It's this old cathedral in Ely. It was built a long time ago. And you just walk into this cathedral, and you see the magnificent grandeur of it. And it fills your heart. It fills your soul. There are times in life that fill your soul, but if it's truly the glory of God, maybe you should be a little bit afraid, like the shepherds. Because when God is around, it's a fearful thing. It's a fear and trembling thing. And the light that came that Christmas Eve was a fear and trembling light. And the shepherds saw it, and they bowed down and they worshiped, and then they went to see the Christ child. So the light can bring fear and trembling, but also the light was the star over the manger. The star that came that night over the manger light, it must have been spectacular. I mean, they've written about it so many times. All the Gospels write about talk about the birth story, talk about the star. Something happened that night. Nobody knows really what it is. Every year at Christmas time, we get another description of what it could have been. And of course, this year's no different. There's a guy, he's a New York coin dealer of all. A New York coin dealer. He showed astronomer Michael Moyner an ancient Roman coin minted in Syria that featured a picture of Zeus on one side and Ares the ram on the other, and he bought it for $50. A few months later, he noticed that there was a star on the coin, and the coin was minted in AD 13. An earlier version had been issued by Quirinius, the governor of Syria, who's mentioned in the Gospels, and so began a quest by the University of Wisconsin-Madison alumni to see if a most unlikely source, his own coin collection, held a clue to the identity of the Star of Bethlehem that drew the three wise men to see the infant king, an event known as Epiphany. Moyner's research, which he published, is in a book called The Star of Bethlehem, The Legacy of the Magi. And it led him to believe that the star, okay, this is what it is. All the theories, this is what he says. The star that attracted the Magi to Jerusalem was likely Jupiter, eclipsed by the Earth's moon, known as a double occultation, while it was located within the constellation of Aries the Ram. So there you have it. And I could go on, but it'll change next year. So you'll just have to look for it. So that's what the light happens at Christmas time. You've got the lights coming to the shepherds. You got the light over the manger. But what does the light do? Well, of all the Christmas stories, the one I like the most is John 1:1, where he says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him, in this babe in Bethlehem, in Jesus, was life. And the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." So what John says is that this babe born in Bethlehem, what does it do? It brings light. And the light shines in the darkness. And it's the great thing about darkness and light is that wherever there's darkness, you bring a light, and all of a sudden you can see. The light always overpowers the darkness. It reminds me of this episode of I Love Lucy. For those of you under 50 maybe, I don't know. The Lucy show, Lucy was married to this guy, Ricky Ricardo, right? And she was always being crazy. And one day Ricky comes home and Lucy's in the living room just looking. He says, "What are you doing?" She said, "I lost my earring." He says, "Well, I'll help you find it." He gets down. He said, "I can't find it. Are you sure you lost it here?" And she said, "Well, no, I lost it in the bedroom." He said, "What are you doing looking at it for in the living room?" And she said, "Well, the light's better out here." So, but that's what it's like, right? The light always overpowers, and wherever there's light, that's where you want to be. One of the essential questions that philosophers have debated over and over again is how important is the light of God in this world? You know, philosophers have said and have debated, would there be goodness in the world if there was no concept of God? And of course, everybody says, well, of course there'd be goodness in the world. The secular humanists say, well, it's always good to be good to other people because then it'll come back to you at some point in the future. So of course you need to be good to other people. But if you look at the animal kingdom, it's not so clear. If you've ever seen a polar bear and, let's say, a human or some other lesser creature, the polar bear is going to win all the time. Without any God, without any sense of holiness in the world, would this world really be a great place to live? Or would it be a horrible place? A place where people climb to the top and whoever they roll over to get to the top is fine with them? And the thing is, we don't know the answer to that question. Because the light came into the world, and the light lives in the world. And we have no idea what this world would be like without that light, because the light's already here. I don't know if you've ever been to Colossal Cave or any other cave, but sometimes you can go into these cave tours, and there's okay, we're going to turn off all the lights. And so, are you ready for this? You need to be holding on to something, or sitting down, or making sure you're comfortable. And it's like, why? It's like, we're going to turn off the light. And so they do, and it's dark. I mean, it is really dark. And I don't think people even understand how dark it can be in a cave, because when we turn off all the lights, we can still kind of see something, but when you're in a cave, all the light is gone. What would it be like to have all the light gone in this world? What kind of a place would it be? What kind of a horrible place would it be? We don't know. Simply don't know, because the light did come. Because the second point is the light drives out the darkness. And while they were there, the time came for her to be giving birth. She gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Such a small child, weak and helpless. Maybe a little light burning in the background. It doesn't take much light. But when the light's there, the light overpowers the darkness. When Jesus came, he overpowered the darkness. And the whole course of human history has not been the same at all. You can take any other person that's lived in history, take a look at who they are, take a look at their accomplishments, and nobody has accomplished more or done more for humankind than this little baby born in the manger. This little baby would grow up, would live as a man, would die, would rise again, and the whole course of humankind would change because of it. And I'll put my Jesus up against any other person. Most people want power, they want control, they want whatever they want. Jesus wanted to love. Jesus was humble. Jesus said the way to live in this life is to give of yourself like he gave of himself so that we could live. This child was born in the manger for you and me. I don't put up Christmas lights because my wife, it's not because of her. Strike that. She stopped yelling at me about 5 years ago. 10 years ago. No, I'm sensitive to these light things. So we went to Walmart last year. Have you seen these things? They're these little tiny lights. You put them in the front yard, you turn them on, and you get red and green sparkles all over your house. You don't have to get up on a ladder and practically kill yourself or whatever. You just put up one light, and that's all you need. It says on the instructions, do not try this out in the light because you won't see the light. I remember over the summer, I was looking, I wonder if this still works. And I turn it on, and it doesn't work. And then I read the note, don't try it because you have to wait till it's really dark. But when it's really dark and you put this light up, it fills the sky. It absolutely fills the sky. Well, we have a one lamp in Christmas. It's Jesus Christ. And even though he came as a little tiny babe in the manger, didn't seem like much, it sparkled the world. And the world's never been the same ever since. There's so much noise at Christmas. May this Christmas season, the little light of Jesus, the big light of Jesus, may shine in your heart always. In his name, amen.